The thing that mattered was that they had access to huge amounts of cash emanating from inside Russia and from Bosnia, Chechnya, and Croatia. This was soon after the supposed ceasefires, and large sums of money were coming tonight from Zagreb, Sarajevo, and places like Grozny and Tiflis. You didn't have to be Einstein to figure out that the cash was ill-gotten. It was all in hard currency and negotiable traveller's checks, and I don't mean piffling little amounts. I'm talking serious cash. 15,000-20,000 a day, in some cases. Yes, of course, it was basically Russian mafia money, and the amounts had to be illegal because they were, in the main, larger by the day than some of those countries spend on policing in a month. So they made you an offer you couldn't refuse. Charlie Gauntlet did not have a breath of a smile in either voice or lips. The Father Superior went back to the nodding. Then slowly, "Yes, yes, yes, Charlie. They made me an undeniable submission, but not until they'd had a little dabble around blackmail. Sergeant Hammer's death. As you've already suggested, Charlie, Sergeant Hammer's death. You were there, after all, weren't you?" "Not quite there, Gregory. I came in just after it happened. But Colin Knight was there, and a lot of people pointed the finger at you, didn't they, Reverend Father? Even though it was death by natural causes, people thought you had the fix in somehow." Pause as Charlie's mind soared upward. "Gregory, shall I fill in the blanks for the others?" An angry flurry crossed the priest's face. "I think I can deal with matters, Charles." "Keep your hair on, Gregory. It was natural causes. He had a serious heart attack in my office. Died on the floor near my desk. But..." Once more, the thin old monk pointed at the facts. Facts that were demonstrably true. "But only Knight and I saw him die." "So your new novice master knew something that we didn't. He also had a master plan. For megabucks, as they say." This time the Father Superior gave a wry little smile. "Yes, indeed, Charles. Yes, he did. Tell us how that came about." "Well, first I pleaded that it couldn't be done. How, I asked them, could I run several thousand pounds and dollars a day through my books? They told me that all I had to do was run it through a bank. Dollars and pounds wash whitest. I still disagreed, and they pointed out what a lovely story Sergeant Hammer's death would make."
"And would it?"
"Make a good story. Of course it would, my dear Charles. Elderly monk tells of murder and love nest. What do you think? They wouldn't worry too much about the facts."
"But we would, Gregory."
"Yes, all right. All right, there was a row."
"A fight?" "A row. Okay, so what was this row about?"
Charlie clearly saw the death scene, Hammer spread on the floor, and Gregory standing over him with shocked eyes. "What are all domestic rows about? Money or women?"
"Which particular one in this case?"
"Come on, Charlie, you know. Women?" "No, it was about a woman."
"Cecil?"
"Of course, Cecil. What do you think, Charlie? Of course, Cecil."
All this in his reed-blown old man's cracked voice. Charlie's turn to nod, to Bex, then to the two silent priests, and last to the apostate Kit Palfrey.
"You see, there was this girl called Cecil."
Settling into the story comfortably. Bex, by the door, immediately knew what she'd looked like, this Cecil. Thin, sharp features, narrow shoulders, jet hair, burning eyes, and her worn coat thrown across her shoulders in a kind of cavalier fashion statement. Bex reached into her brown leather shoulder bag and pulled out the packet of photographs, handing them to Charlie, who quickly riffled through them, peeling one off and handing it to Father Gregory.
"Recognize her?"
Then turning back to the others. The Father Superior was tupping a thin young girl called Cecil.
"That's the top and bottom of it. Cecil. I believe that's a Norwegian name or some such, but she was the one in the barrel that week, and Major Scott, as in Gregory Scott,
Major Scott was giving young Sissel the benefit of his charms, if you follow. There was also a non-commissioned officer with a lecherous bent, muttered the father superior. Sergeant Hammer, Hammer of the North, as the galloping major called him. Taking liberties with Sissel, wasn't he? Smooth Sergeant Hammer with his pencil-thin tush and his floppy little kiss curl, eh? Sergeant Hammer was giving Sissel a right good seeing to, wasn't he? To put it mildly, yes. And to my shame, I called him to account, struck him hard in the face, on the shoulder, and just above the heart, a flurry of fists, very hard, killed him. Heart attack. Great bruise on his ribs triggered the heart attack. They quizzed me about that. Didn't come out, but I was suspect. And what was important, I knew. And Colin Knight knew. Knows. The nod. Yes, Colin Knight knows. The folly of an old man's pride. What a fool I was for Jesus' sake. Head lifted, thrown back with a thin laugh. How stupid, Scott piped, as if any of it mattered. I thought I was saving the Order of St. Jerome from scandal, but I was really only saving myself from the Sunday papers, the scandal sheets. The blackmail one, then. Mostly and wrongly. Deluded, that's the word. I deluded myself for cash. They made a very good case for the cash. 10%, they said, we could have. The Order of St. Jerome could have a lot of bread, loot. Scott laughed again. Spondulix. So your monastery became a giant laundromat. Turned swag into clean money, yes. The devil's money, Father Gregory. Totally. The end product of sin, yes. Odd how money obtained through criminal acts suddenly becomes snow white. And you knew exactly where the money came from? Pretty well, yes. Scott almost chanted a litany of criminal cash. When the killing, the militant clash, the unhealthy tally that followed ethnic cleansing and political and religious unrest was done, the sharks slid in to make the big-time bucks. They provided drugs, flesh, booze, money, meeting places called clubs, and the necessary protection for those clubs. After the dust cart comes the Lord Mayor's show. No wonder the Muslim world holds Christians in derision. Gregory Scott looked drunk with anxiety. We of the West allow everything that they abhor to dance in front of our eyes. Islam holds us in contempt because we argue about our religion, but don't seem to practice it. Talking of practicing a religion, what about old Kit Palfrey here? Patsy Wright took a step forward, laid a hand on Charlie's sleeve and shook his head. Kit's okay, he said, almost in a whisper. Really? All Sir Garnet? Patsy nodded. For years he was our man in the Kremlin, Charlie. Out of date now, but in those bad, bold days he was quite a treasure. Jockstrap medals galore. Our little hero. The glory that was Rome. Moscow. Whatever. Charlie grinned. They'd played this double act many times. Now he turned back to the Father Superior. Old Kit looks okay to me, Gregory. I thought you'd plied him with the demon drink again. From across the room, Kit chuckled. They're wild men, these monks. Leave a bottle of gin in your cell, as easy as look at you. Just testing, Kit. There was humour in Father Gregory's voice. The genuine article. No Giocondas here. Didn't touch a drop. Kit lifted his right hand, circling his head with his forefinger to denote a halo. This means the dar is genuine, Kit. How should I know? I picked it up just as I told you, Charlie. Found it down in the cellars of the Lubyanka. Told you the whole truth about that. But I'm no expert on things biblical. That's why I brought the proofs here, where they know about these things.